The first moment of summer happens at precisely this time tomorrow morning as we approach the solstice. How is that stock portfolio?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The end of the financial quarter isn't for another week, but using Mother Nature's calendar, the end of spring, the dawn of summer, how has the stock market performed so far in 2014? The S&P 500 ended a new closing high yesterday. Earlier this week, the NASDAQ Composite hit a 14-year high. Let's get an end-of-season assessment from Michael Houston, a chief market analyst at CMC Markets UK. Good morning, Mr. Houston.
Good morning, David.
I was just looking through at the stock indices here. I mean, if you look at the 100 share index on your side of the pond, up a little more than 3% year to date. Dow Jones Industrial Average, a similar performance. S&P 500, about 7%. I mean, some of this must be low interest rates.
I think it's pretty much all low interest rates, David. When you put it in the context of the gains that we saw last year, despite the fact that an awful lot of people are expressing deep unease, I think, with earnings growth going forward. Obviously, there's geopolitical risk to factor into that as well with events in Ukraine and Iraq. Markets aren't really too concerned about that, just so long as Janet Yellen has got her safety net in place.
Because if you're looking for a place to park money and you take a look at alternatives that are not in the stock market, you don't see huge returns often. And often, even with the run-up that we saw in share prices last year, people are still inclined to buy an equity here and there.
They are indeed, and certainly not just equities, but obviously new issues as well. It's not just about perceptions of the economy maybe starting to recover, but it's also the fact that I think investors are feeling more confident simply because central banks are content to maintain their easy monetary policy.
Michael Houston, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets UK, thank you very much.
Thank you.
A seasonal view there for today. Let's also do the numbers. The 100 share index in London is up 0.3% now. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong rose 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are each up at the moment. Foreign investment is on the rise in the U.S., according to a new report out today from Brookings, the think tank. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains what sort of jobs that means for the American economy.
Companies that foreigners have invested in employ more than 5 million U.S. workers, according to the Brookings report, with lots of jobs in manufacturing, but more and more in banks, high-tech, even pharmaceuticals. Debashri Saha wrote the report. She says the foreign investment isn't just clustered in a few big cities.
In Raleigh, North Carolina, more than 50% of jobs in, you know, pharmaceutical manufacturing is in the FDI sector.
FDI stands for Foreign Direct Investment. Saha says FDI in the U.S. fell by more than half from 1999 to 2012 because of competition from developing countries. But that competition is falling off, according to Moyara Rusin, who teaches international finance at the Monterey Institute.
There are very few opportunities, and the U.S. seems like the better of several not-so-great options.
Rusin says now foreign investment is picking up again because investors see the U.S. as a safe haven. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is a nonprofit, listener-supported service. A gift from you, yes, you, if you can, in any amount, helps the Marketplace crew keep telling the money stories behind the news of the day. Help us end the budget year in a strong position by making a gift at marketplace.org by June 30th, if you could. Now, here's a combination. The hard work of students from tough backgrounds and the watches that wrap the wrists of billionaires and celebrities. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports from New York on an attempt to save a threatened profession.
Behind the heavily secured doors of Turno's workshop, watchmakers fix the world's most expensive timepieces worth tens, even hundreds of thousands of dollars.
1960 model Rolex. A model that we don't see too often. And you.
Terry Irby is in charge. His gentle southern accent and pristine white lab coat give him the air of a country doctor, one with a magnifying eye loop around his neck instead of a stethoscope. And he's running something of a teaching hospital for watch repair.
Do you see a little arrow down at the bottom?
It is. That's why it's the push button, but when I push it, it's not coming out.
Okay, he leans over the workbench of 20-year-old Justine Hernandez, learning to delicately take the hands off a watch. Tricky to do without scratching its face.
This hand did not come off.
Like others here, she comes from a high school for older students, those whose progress may have been held up by poverty, homelessness, or run-ins with the law. This is a whole different world for her.
We're looking at all the beautiful watches, and there's this one watch that stands out. It costs like $40,000, which is like a car, probably a couple of cars.
The skills she's learning could lead to a good job.
I don't think any qualified watchmaker starts for less than $50,000, and it can go up.
This program isn't just corporate goodwill. Wristwatches are fashionable again. The company needs people.
I have often said that I would take 10 watchmakers today if I could find them.
Students who do well get paid internships, which can lead to jobs.
Got to make sure there are no fingerprints on this crystal, because once the movement goes in, you can't get to it.
That's the fun part, right?
Irby works with recent grad Edwin LaRaghi, who's intensely focused on a handsome Cartier worth several grand. One time he got so wrapped up in his work, he went home wearing his eye loop.
I'm like in the train, the only guy with an eye loop, and everybody looking at me like if I'm a doctor or something. It's a part of me now.
A young man confident he finally found what he loves, what he's great at. Good news for his future and that of a rarefied profession. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
And now a business model that seems silly at first, but on further reflection, I wished I'd thought of it. It is called Washboard. You pay $26.99 a month to get a packet of quarters worth $20 in the mail every month. So you can do your laundry or pay parking meters. Quite an arbitrage, you say, but how long does it take to go down to the bank and get all the quarters, or the psychic wear and tear of scrounging for every quarter that comes by? The Washboard entrepreneurs think that's worth $6.99 a month to people. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.